That the voice of veteran South African anti-apartheid activist Dennis Goldberg, who breathed his last over the last 24 hours or so, and one of the contemporaries of that illustrious generation here in South Africa, and certainly one of the leaders of the South African Communist Party, having joined the party in 1957. And I'm joined on the line now by Political Bureau member of the SACP and also a member of the Central Committee of the party, Jeremy Cronin, to briefly reflect on the life of this brilliant man, Isithwala Andwe, or Siaparankwe, as people often say. And certainly, Mr. Cronin, somebody who sacrificed a great deal for the liberation of this particular country. Good evening to you.
Hi, Ayabonga. Thanks very much. Yes, Dennis Goldberg certainly sacrificed a great deal, but he never thought of it like that particularly. He always spoke of being very proud of having been a foot soldier in one of the great inspiring liberation struggles of the 20th century. So, yeah, he didn't, you know, it was a commitment that he made and that he was proud of to the last.
Let's take a step back and maybe I just paint a picture of the social milieu that Dennis Goldberg would have grown up in, you know, immigrant Jewish family and certainly a very progressive family by his recollection in his later years. And somebody who joined the SACP or the CPSA then in 1957. And maybe just paint a picture for us of what it meant at that time to be a member of the, you know, Communist Party and also the broader liberation movement.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, yes, his parents were immigrants from Eastern Europe, Jewish immigrants, where they had suffered their own experience of racial discrimination, pogroms and so forth, and came to South Africa. And they were also Communist Party members. So Dennis grew up in some ways, a typical white South African family, and in other ways, a rather atypical South African family. So he loved rugby. Played first team rugby for UCT's rugby team. On the one hand, he was an engineering student and passed with flying colors. But on the other hand, he had this strong social commitment as well to the struggle and joined, as you say correctly. I mean, he'd been active in left-wing circles as a young man as well. But the Communist Party was banned in 1950 and was only relaunched in the deep underground in 1953. Mm-hmm. And he, in 1957, as you correctly said, joined that party in the deep underground. I as a young student, joined it in 1968. And I would imagine the situation was fairly similar. Mm-hmm. One didn't know the other members of the Communist Party. One joined a unit. One was invited to join and recruited into a unit. So you knew that the prospects of going to jail, if not getting killed and under torture, were extremely high, but it was something that you felt needed to be done. Mm. For me, I encountered Dennis for the first time. I mean, he was kind of legend already from the Rivonia trial, in which he was the youngest member of the Rivonia trial, and who was only the only white person who was sentenced to three non-consecutive life sentences. We used to joke in prison when I met him that we didn't quite understand how he was going to begin his second life sentence, let alone his third, because on death presumably the second life sentence was meant to begin. He was extremely, you know, that Rivonia trial, which involved Nelson Mandela, obviously, Aaron Motsoaledi, Ahmed Kathrada, Andrew Mangeni, and others, was in one way a huge defeat for the liberation movement in South Africa, but at the same time was turned into this massive symbolic statement and victory, in a sense, with the brave stand that Nelson Mandela and the others on trial took. They actually expected to get the death sentence, and despite that, stood their ground and committed themselves didn't apologize for the stand they were taking. And so Dennis, as a white person, and a junior, basically, and so you know, within that trial, was very important symbolically because he underlined the non-racial character of our struggle, not just in aspiration, but in active commitment. And so, yeah, I met him for the first time, as I'd heard about him, obviously, but met him for the first time when I was sentenced to Pretoria Maximum Security Prison in 1976. And it was a wonderful experience to encounter him. He was a very humble person and was recognized even by the warders as the kind of leader of this small group of white male political prisoners. Mm. You know, we had all wished to be on Robben Island along with our fellow ANC and SACP comrades, but the apartheid regime obviously was not going to let that happen. And so, you know, we were a tiny minority of a minority in South Africa, but knew that we were part of a bigger struggle. And Dennis was, this amazing leader inside of prison and had the respect even of the warders, who would often come to him to consult him on their marital problems, on their legal issues and so forth. I think as on Robben Island, political prisoners in South Africa preserved a moral superiority over those who were jailing us.
Yeah. Jeremy, I want us to pause here for a second and take a quick spot break. When we come back, we'll take a look at, Dennis Goldberg's latter life, having been released in the 80s and going to the United Kingdom and continuing to campaign against the apartheid government, but also on returning to, Cape Town and his later life in Hart Bay, continuing to having a very strong and overriding sense of justice. And we'll talk about some of the things that really, in his later life, incensed him, what made him unhappy, but also some of the things that really made him quite happy, because certainly this was a society that in many ways was fundamentally different to the one that he left when he was confined to prison in the 60s. We're reflecting on the life of Dennis Goldberg, and I'm joined on the line by Central Committee member of the South African Communist Party, Jeremy Cronin, and also a fellow prisoner of Dennis Goldberg in the Pretoria Central Prison. Tune into Metro FM Talk. We'll continue on the other side. It's 13 minutes after 8 p.m. You tuned in to Metro FM Talk, and it's our Thought Leader Thursday. And this evening, we take this opportunity to reflect on the life and the memory of Dennis Goldberg, who passed on over the last 24 hours or so, and a veteran of the liberation struggle, and someone who was certainly from a very young age involved in the task and the project of liberating South Africa from apartheid, and of course I would venture to say even the machinations of racialized capitalism in South Africa. And I'm in conversation reflecting on his life with Jeremy Cronin, Central Committee member of the South African Communist Party. And I guess, Jeremy, the other issue is Dennis Goldberg's return to South Africa in the early 2000s. He would have certainly had some of his own reflections, which he later shared about the new society that he was thrust into, many of the unfinished and incomplete tasks that still remain even for our generation. Just maybe talk to us about your recollection of how we approached some of those things and how we spoke to some of these issues or engaged with them. And moreover, some of the work that he did even in the community of Hout Bay, where we know he used to raise funds for the House of Hope.
Yes, no, great, Ibonga. He came back to South Africa, so he was released in 85, if I'm not mistaken, and joined his wife Esme and two children in London. And I was had to skip the country in great hurry during states of emergency in the late 80s, and I met him briefly with his family there, and it was a wonderful reunion for me. He came back to the country in 1994, back to South Africa and back to his beloved Cape Town and Hout Bay, as you say. And he was very, very proud of the achievements that we had gained collectively as South Africans. the democratic breakthrough of 1994, the constitutional arrangement, progressive constitution that we've got, all of those things, to which he'd contributed so greatly, along with hundreds of thousands of others, made him very proud. But at the same time, he always understood and always said that the struggle continues. It's not mm-hmm. over. And that the democratic breakthrough is a bridgehead for further advances, but we can't rest and simply claim a victory. And certainly in the latter years, along with the other surviving Rivonia trialists, Andrew Mangeni and Ahmed Kathrada, Dennis was very critical and openly so of the dismal state capture, Guptarization of our movement and of our country, was openly critical of those, and I think correctly so, and used the authority that he had and standing that he had to say this in a constructive way, but very openly to express his disappointment. But his disappointment was never a terminal disappointment. He always had great hope in the organizations that he'd been part of, and in the decency and commitment of millions of ordinary South Africans. And certainly in his own life, as you were suggesting, in his latter years, he devoted a great deal of time, one, to continued international work. So when he went out in the 80s, he used the opportunity and his standing, obviously, in the broad anti-apartheid movement to continue the struggle on that front and to address audiences in lots of different countries, in Germany notably, but in the United States, in Western Europe and so forth, playing that very important role of sustaining international support. And let's not forget that that anti-apartheid movement was probably one of the largest and most successful global solidarity movements of the second half of the 20th century. Back here in South Africa, and particularly in his latter years, as you were correctly saying, he continued to do very grassroots kinds of work, raising funds for local initiatives in Harpe and elsewhere. My daughter remembers him coming to her school and making a huge impression on... she was in a former Model C school, but making a huge impression on young children, talking about the past, but also encouraging them to think about the responsibilities that they had and to carry forward the struggle that he and others have been involved in.
And indeed, Jeremy, Aluta Kontinua, I think if there's any message that we take from Dennis Goldberg and the lives of many in his generation is that the struggle continues, albeit, I guess, on different fronts and in a different terrain. And we really thank you for taking time out to speak to us and reflect on the life of one of your comrades. And we certainly bid him farewell and we doff our hat to him this evening.
Wonderful. It's been a great pleasure to talk and thank you. A great honor. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Jeremy Cronin, a Central Committee member of the South African Communist Party, speaking and reflecting on the life of Dennis Goldberg.